Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for this show. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with a mover and shaker from the music world. My guest today is Kenton Thomas from the prog rock band Portal. Kenton, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Simon.
I guess you and I were almost neighbors up until last September. I called Calgary home. You are from Edmonton, just north of there.
Yeah, I suppose to most of your listeners, probably the great white north for both of us. But yeah, not too far away, and a couple of very big and growing cities, that's for sure.
I am a prog rock fan, and I have been for decades. I'm an aging hippie, if you will. I'm old, and I have to say that I put Portal in the prog rock 2.0 genre. It's very, very different from the material that we heard in the 1970s. Is this the future of prog?
You know, it's tough to say. I think there are a lot of artists out there who are still doing a lot of what was heard from bands like Rush and Yes back in the day. Honestly, our roots weren't from progressive music, and we sort of came at it from a bit of a side angle, which is probably why our sound is a little bit different. But, you know, having a classical background and sharing a lot of rhythmic elements in common with progressive music, that's sort of where we sit.
I'm going to come back to that classical aspect.
Sure.
But why don't we listen to Portal? This is from their new CD. Now, I do believe this is your third CD, isn't it?
Fourth, actually.
Your fourth. Okay. My sources were wrong. Okay, and the name of the CD is...
Blood Red Tape.
I'm going to ask you about that name, but let's listen to it first. This is called Your Kettle.
About the race.
Adam, tell us about your band. Just who are Portal?
Well, I guess you could describe us in a number of ways. Basically, we're a bunch of music nerds. I started out the project about... I'd finished up my piano studies and decided to pick up guitar, and I got some recording gear, and a friend of mine from high school, Kevin Hoskin, is our big... And he and I have been working on this together for all that time, and then we've got Bill George on drums and Ross Brooks on guitar, who joined the fold about 4 years ago.
So how long has Portal actually been a band?
I guess it depends on the band. We started playing live, I guess it would have been back in 2001, but the project had been sort of underway for a couple of years before that, a little bit of writing and sharing of ideas and music on Napster and gaining some support and that sort of thing. So our first album was pretty much recorded by the time we got all the musicians together, because I'd been working on it for months and months on my own, so...
Actually, you're not the first musician that has said that to me. You know, you create the album in your mind, if you will, and then you use the computer to lay down tracks and you multi-track it. Is that pretty much the way that Portal came about?
I think that's fair to say. It's almost like you know, having a partner to jam with who you can wake up at any point in time in the middle of the night when you've got an idea. You know, laying down some basic drum track beds, recording some guitars, and bouncing guitar parts off of yourself while you're working through some vocal parts and that sort of thing. As far as I'm concerned for this style of music, that only takes you so far. So once the idea is matured to a certain level, it's time to bring in some very capable musicians, such as Bill, our drummer. You know, without somebody like that, you can't anchor a progressive rock band with complex time signatures without that sort of a mind to bounce things off of. So things develop to about maybe 60%, and then it's time to bring in the rest of the guys.
I actually agree with that. I had a delightful conversation with a quite famous musician who managed to fashion a CD without actually getting all of the people in the studio. And, you know, to this day, I'm going, no, you can't do that. But, you know, he explained that, yes, you can, because, you know, you can lay down a track, you can send it over the internet, and, you know, someone can lay down a new idea, but, you know, keep it separate. And yes, through the wonders of computers, voila, you have everything you need. I must admit that I'm still not convinced that it's either a good or sensible idea.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, because of the nature of Portal right from the get-go, it's entirely possible, and it's perhaps a benefit to the project and its potential longevity that it's rooted as a studio project. So, you know, if worse came to worse and I had to revert back to just doing things on my own, I could. Whether the material would end up being as strong, whether the ideas would end up being as deep, is definitely arguable. I think you lose something when you don't have some competent people to bounce ideas off of, that's for sure.
Right. I think that's a very, very good comment to make. You and I were almost neighbors up until last September. I called Calgary home. You live in Edmonton.
The band is from Edmonton. I have just moved out to Vancouver on the West Coast myself, but yeah, we just played a festival back in Edmonton, and there's been a lot of back and forth, so yeah, Western Canada, that's for sure.
What is the prog rock scene like in Western Canada?
You know, it's funny, and almost a testament, I suppose, to the hard work we put in over the last few years. I wouldn't say that progressive rock is very popular. Bands like Tool, for example, they get a lot of play on radio in Edmonton and Calgary, I think, especially. But I think it has a lot less to do with their progressive nature and more to do with their overall sound. I think there's been a bit of an influx of progressive attitudes in the rock bands in Edmonton and in Alberta. I'd like to think as a result of us really pushing forward with that agenda, and Kevin and I have been doing some production work for a lot of young and up-and-coming bands in Edmonton as well, and you know, it's almost nice to hear a bit of that influence, that they're striving for something a little more complex that challenges them as well, because that's why we kind of started off on that tangent in the first place.
A comment that just keeps popping up in my mind, and I use it often in interviews. It comes from Rick Wakeman's son. Rick plays or played with the very famous band Yes. And his son, Oliver, has the Oliver Wakeman Band, and very much prog rock, but it's very much prog rock 2.0. I mean, his father was well-rooted in the keyboards, and over the years has produced some absolutely fabulous stuff. But the comment from Oliver when I spoke to him last is, prog rock is like cricket. It's a minority sport, always has been, always will be. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a very valid point. I actually had a bit of a tete-a-tete with a gentleman who disagreed with some of the comparisons that we draw in our press release as far as other bands that we're similar to, and his opinion was that on the surface we didn't really sound like those bands, and the thought occurred to me that I think progressive music especially is sort of like an iceberg. You know, there's the 10% that sits above the water that most people see and appreciate, and then there's the 90% that, you know, progressive rock fans especially, and jazz fans and people who are real audiophiles, they put their headphones on, and that's the stuff that really starts to sink in after a few listens. The typical listener, the person who turns on the radio in their car and you know, doesn't seek out particular CDs because their friends told them they're great, they listen to the stuff that's above the water. And progressive music is a lot more about what's underneath the water, and most people, unfortunately, they don't see it. But you know, just like there's fine dining, and then there's McDonald's, and there's fine art, and then there's IKEA, there's really good music out there, and then there's stuff that's made for the masses, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I liked your answer, so I'm just going to plug away at it some more. Portal is very, very different from Prog 1.0. The keyboards are still there, kind of, sort of, but they're not nearly as prevalent. Is this the direction that Prog is taking?
I don't think so. I think there are a lot of artists out there who are still taking the very typical prog approach, who were brought up on progressive music. I guess the deal with Portal is that our background was more, I think most of us sort of grew up in the grunge rock era. You know, what really influenced me right from the get-go were bands like Stone Temple Pilots and Smashing Pumpkins and Soundgarden. It was that sort of drew us into the general feel of what we were going for, And then when we got there and started playing, we realized that we wanted to challenge ourselves a little bit more. A lot of us have extensive musical training, and coming from a classical background, it's difficult to play four-chord songs that are 4 minutes long and feel satisfied with that. So we started delving into some more complex time signatures and polyrhythms and really trying to play around with stuff while hopefully still presenting them in a way that the average listener can still identify with. And the end result was something that we feel fits sort of the prog genre, even if it didn't stem directly from bands like Pink Floyd and Rush and that sort of thing.
One of the more interesting aspects about prog, and I have been a prog fan since, way before you were born. Well, I'm 53 years old. The vast majority of prog bands have musicians with some sort of classical training. That these are not, folks that have just picked up the guitar and practiced in their garage. I mean, why is this?
I think it's probably stems from the idea that classical music has a tendency to not conform to, obviously, because of where it stems from, the idea of that quick fix that everybody needs in every sort of part of their life nowadays. There was time 200, 300 years ago for journeys. There was time to close your eyes and sit and relax and let the music take you away. And there are areas of the world where that sort of thing is still very much appreciated. Unfortunately, it's not as appreciated because things are just too fast-paced here in North America and in a lot of areas in Western Europe. Nobody takes that time anymore. Songs are moving more and more to being jingles. There's something that's supposed to catch your attention, repeat a couple of times, and then you're on to the next one because nobody's got an attention span anymore. So I think that classical background really lends itself to the appreciation of there's the root word right there, progressions, journeys, things that take you on an exploratory meandering for a few minutes before, either coming back around again or finishing off somewhere totally different.
That's an interesting answer. I'm not sure that I buy into it 100%, but The one thing I do know is name any prog band and there'll be somewhere, or someone rather, in their makeup that has had classical training. Now, when I say classical, I don't necessarily mean classical music. I mean they have gone to some form of music school.
I see.
Yeah, they know how to write notes on paper, and that they understand the composition. Okay, you've gone quiet.
No, I would agree with that, and coming from that direction, with that definition of classical, I think it makes sense as well that, when you have a more thorough book understanding of music and what goes into it, more of a mathematical approach, you're more likely to try and explore those ideas in your writing as opposed to just going with what feels good and what your gut says you want to go with. Our aim has always been to try and find a bit of a happy medium there so that, it challenges us as players but still appeals to the average listener, which I suppose can be even more difficult at times. But, when you're listening to bands like, modern-day progressive metal bands, Opeth and Dream Theater and that sort of thing, it's very, very technical, and you can understand why somebody who's had that training and has that understanding would want to incorporate that into what they're writing.
I'm going to come back to this subject, but why don't we take a musical break? How would you feel if I played The Kingdom?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, this is The Kingdom. We'll be right back. I have a very important question.
Sure.
The internet, it very much has changed the music world. How important is the internet to you?
Throughout Portal's history, it's been absolutely invaluable. Right from the get-go, when I was tracking our first CD and my little bachelor pad back in 2001, that was sort of the beginning of Napster's heyday, and we garnered a lot of exposure and support using Napster in the original free download format. I remember having conversations with people from Korea and Estonia and you know, everywhere around the globe who were downloading the songs that I was getting ready to release, and seemed to really be enjoying them. And it was kind of a bit of a negative hit for us when the lawsuit started and they began filtering out those searches and people couldn't find our music anymore. And it just kind of, you know, stemmed from there. Now everybody's taking advantage, so we've lost that competitive edge. But, we wouldn't be where we are today without it, that's for sure. Probably 90% of our sales come through digital avenues, iTunes, Amazon, and various other services. So, it's exactly what is needed to circumvent big business and get music out there to people who just like listening to good stuff, no matter where it comes from.
You obviously have a website or two. Would you like to put up an absolutely shameless advertisement for where people can find you?
I probably should. Our band website, the band is Portal, the website is portalband.com, and the new album is Blood Red Tape, and oddly enough, the website is bloodredtape.com, and that one's got links to hear various samples of what's on the CD, and sort of a preview before you listen, and then, various links to buy as well.
Oh, I love the idea of listen before you buy. I mean, It is such a wonderful idea. You know, if only the major labels would buy into it. And we do have a question coming in from someone that is listening to the show live. And the question is, hey, I have a question for Kenton. I'm a long-time Portal fan, and I was just wondering if he could talk briefly about what some of the biggest challenges have been for the band and how they are overcoming those challenges. Thanks.
That's a really good question. I think every independent artist or band probably encounters similar difficulties. They will also encounter unique difficulties. Part of the challenge of being an independent artist is that you've got to be an artist and a business person. You've got to be, a musician and a financier. I think maybe our biggest bottleneck over the years has been trying to strike that balance of taking appropriate time off to focus on the creation of your product while still making sure that you've got the part-time job or school under your belt so that you're funding, because it doesn't matter how good your writing is, if you don't have money to hit the studio or promote it when your CD is done, no one's going to hear it. And that's been a bit of a learning experience, a lot of ebbing and flowing there. But for the most part, it's a pretty easy formula. You just need to work hard at the end of the day at everything you do. Work hard at getting some money in the bank. Work hard at writing your material. Don't take breaks. Don't expect that somebody else is going to do the work for you. Just put your nose to the grindstone, and it'll happen.
Well, we're gonna lose our listeners in about 30 seconds, but listeners, don't panic, because this entire interview will be recorded, and all you have to do is go to www.bloggernews.net and you'll be able to find it very easily. A question for you. Prog rock and radio have never been, good pals. The prog rock genre doesn't fit into the 3 or 4 minute music slot. Maybe radio is dead already, so maybe it's a moot point. Would you ever try and fit into the 3-4 minute radio gig?
I don't know if we would make active attempts to do that. Beyond a radio edit of a song, which I've got zero qualms about. We just try and walk into the room and just kind of let a song write itself. To me, those are the best songs, the ones where you sit back and realize that it just kind of flowed note after note, and you didn't really have to work at it. And sometimes they end up being 3.5 minutes and they feel done, and sometimes they end up being 11 and you feel like they could have gone 15. At the end of the day, we're not really gearing towards that, but there are, on Blood Red Tape, there are 3 songs, I think, under 4 minutes or around that mark, and we did a radio edit of another one. It's still in our neck of the woods, certainly across North America, it's still a very viable and important promotional tool. And I think any band that thinks that they're going to be successful without any sort of radio exposure at all, I hope they've got their fingers crossed. It does happen, but it's pretty rare. So we try and exploit it wherever possible, but we're not going to change what we're doing just to suit what the commercial market is looking for, because I think everybody would agree in one aspect or another in their lives that commercialism has not necessarily got it made.
Oh, I quite agree with you. You did a recent tour, I understand. You hit six concerts in 9 days.
Yeah, it was our first time really hitting the road. Being from or having lived in Calgary, how remote even big cities are up in that corner of the world. And it's pretty difficult, especially as a progressive rock band, to hit large centers night after night and expect to play to large audiences. So as far as a money-making tool and a promotional tool goes, touring isn't very viable. And I've heard that advice even from people marketing tours across the western United States. They always say, just go out east, go to the eastern seaboard. You're going to get a lot more dates out there. So we've just never really done it. We've always been a bit more of a studio band. We've got, you know, teachers and session musicians and audio engineers in the group who make money in music whether we're touring or not. So, yeah, we just kind of decided to try it, and we had a blast. It didn't make us any money. I don't think we gained any more fans than we would have if we had, you know, stayed at home and plugged away on the internet for a week. But we had a really good time, and it's something we'll definitely do again in the future if the opportunity presents itself.
So you obviously feel more comfortable in the studio than on the stage.
I don't know if I'd go that far. We've reached a pretty good level of comfort on stage as well. It's the work and the time that goes into making those stage shows happen, especially when you're trying to book them night after night, and especially when you're trying to move between cities that are 10 hours apart. Being comfortable on stage is one thing. Being comfortable booking those shows is quite another, and whether or not you can justify that time is always a big question.
What's next for you and your band?
We've still got a little bit of catch-up to do on some sort of basic infrastructure things that fell behind while we were recording the album. Our websites are still missing a little bit of content. We'd like to get up there. We've got video footage from shows that has kind of been piling up in our to-do folders and inboxes for the last couple of years that we'd love to get sequenced up and online so people, you know, around the world can see us play, because we're not touring a whole lot. And once we're caught up on that stuff, I think, you know, the juices are starting to flow again for some new material. So, keep posted to those websites I mentioned, portalband.com and bloodredtape.com for some new content and some videos. And we had a couple of songs that we recorded for Blood Red Tape that never made it onto the album, and we'll likely be releasing those digitally sometime in the next few months as well.
I'm pretty certain that some listener will be emailing you saying, "Hey, I can help you with the website." Would you be willing to accept some help?
Absolutely. Yeah, Street Team is always great. There are some diehard fans out there, and we've had a lot of them in the past. They're invaluable. You know, kind of like volunteers are for any major organization out there. You can't live without them. So. Anybody who's willing to help, we're always looking for merchandise designs and obviously, you know, and any sort of promotions, grassroots stuff that you can do to help spread the word of what's going on with your favorite band, which hopefully is Portal. We'll take it.
So there you have it, folks. I mean, all you got to do is send in your resume and... Oh, take it from there. Kenton, unfortunately, my producer is whining at me. You know, close this show, close this show.
Fair enough.
This is Simon Barrett from Blogger News Network. It's been delightful. It's been a wonderful time talking to Kenton Thomas of the Canadian prog rock band Portal. Kenton, I do hope that we can talk again and again and again.
That would be great. Thank you for your time, Simon.
Oh, it has been delightful, and I really do hope that I'll get to listen to your very next CD.
We'll be in touch.
Okay. All right. This is Simon Barrett thanking everyone for listening in. And please do check our website out, www.bloggernews.net, because we have new items every day. In fact, every hour. Kenton, it's been delightful. Let's do it again soon.
Will do. Thanks, Simon.
Bye.
Bye.